This is not bad. I like that camera stuff.
Yeah.
That's some good angles. We live?
No. There's no video on the program. Okay.
How close do you got to talk to these?
Like that.
The closer, the better.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And you can move it a little bit. I feel like I move it too much.
Yeah, buddy.
<We're>
The awkward silence. You know, I was telling somebody earlier today, I was like, when we have that awkward silence, I'm going to stop filling in the gaps and just go ahead and see what happens in that awkward silence. I need to stop, like, trying to come up with a question right away.
Yeah.
All right, we're live. Office of the China Hall. On a who knows what day, Tuesday, all this snow is messing with us. And welcome. Welcome to whoever joins. How's the audio sound, Josh?
Audio sounds good.
Good, good.
Nice.
Who are we here with? Lean Body Fit Club, based out of Wabasha, Minnesota. I'm looking at your website.
Christian Pressure from Lean Body Fit Club, Wabasha, like you said. And I'm just down with Josh today in Rochester.
What are we doing?
We're going to get our suits.
Suits.
At,
are you guys in a wedding
night.
Or what?
No, we just decided.
Decided you're going
to
become...
It was time to
yeah.
get a new
suit.
I
just watched the season of Ballers, so...
So you guys went suit shopping together. There you go.
Sometimes.
I like it. There you go. So now you got to update all your headshots with your new suits and your new ties.
I got to go down to that. What's the studio? Olive Juice?
Yes, Seven? Olive Juice, yeah.
I want to go down there.
No, is it Olive Juice? Yeah, it's Olive Juice. Sorry. Yeah.
I thought. That's where you got yours done.
Yeah.
It turned out really good.
They did. I definitely don't look that good in person. It's the Photoshop.
They did a lot of it. Wow, you guys do good work.
All right, Christian, tell us about yourself. Wabasha, Minnesota, the big city. Were you born and raised there? Or
no, when I was in like first grade, I moved down to Wabasha.
Okay.
And my whole family's been living there their whole life. So kind of moved back to the family. I have all my grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins in Wabasha. So basically went through high school, wanted to kind of be like a police officer in the Navy.
Nice.
And then decided I wanted to start a gym. So I went to UW Eau Claire for a semester of entrepreneurship, business entrepreneurship. And then I decided I was just ready to start. So moved back to Wabasha at 19, opened up my little personal training studio, and first month did really well. And ever since then, it's been going really good. So
you go to University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire.
Yep.
And did you, while you're at school, decide that it's going to be a gym business, or did you just like stop cold turkey and just go, you know, I need to go back to home and figure out what the business is?
Well, I knew I was going to start a gym, and right around Christmas I got pneumonia, so I had this whole month in bed, so I just started planning my business out, all that stuff, and then I decided to quit. And not go back.
Full
so I just did
back.
One semester.
Which was a waste. He called me like all the time.
Yeah, I'd call Josh.
He couldn't like leave his house.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
And how did you two meet?
So we met, he's actually in my brother's grade. So they went to school together a few years under me. And just kind of growing up with him because he was a good friend of Jake's. Hanging out, skiing, school, church,
river.
Stuff like that.
Boating.
Going on the river, boating a lot. And then the families got to know each other pretty well.
Yep.
We'd hang out as families. And then Jake went off to school. Christian stayed in Wabasha. Kind of had that business entrepreneurship stuff going on, and that was always appealing to me. So then we started hanging out more and more.
Yep.
Cool.
But, yeah.
And then so you're sitting at home, and you don't know what really exactly you're going to do.
Yeah,
and then,
a gym.
And
but
then one day, what happened? What kind of flipped the switch, and you're like, all right, I'm doing this?
Well, I learned a lot on, like, social media, YouTube, from, like, some different fitness guys. And then I decided I'm going to go out to California and go to this fitness business summit. And that's really where I took a lot of info away from, like, the style of gym that I'm doing.
Nice.
So, and it turned
Which summit was that?
Fitness business summit in San Diego.
With who? Who
with Birdos.
Birdos.
Hey, someone joined.
A guy you can follow on Instagram.
Winston Fosmo joined.
Winston Fosmo.
Hi.
Winston, does our audio sound good? Let us know. We're always, like, I'm always nervous about that. Add a comment down below. Make sure the audio sounds good. Make sure everything looks good. So, the money to go to that, did you have it saved? Was it the college fund that was left over from the family?
No, I had like $1,000. I basically started from like zero after going to college and like being in high school. And so we went on that. Me and my dad went to the summit. Me and my mom and my sister just kind of hanged out at the beach.
Cool.
So we did that and then came back. And then I started with an Amazon credit card. I didn't have any money. So I got like this $3,000 Amazon credit card limit.
Thank you, Amazon.
Rented out this space for $450. Bought all the equipment with the Amazon card. Zero interest for 12 months. And then just started the gym.
No way.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah.
Stepping
so
up
if you
want
to start a business and you don't have any money, the easiest way to get money with zero interest for a year or 2 years is
from
get
Bezos.
An Amazon card because they'll give you a huge limit.
He
and you can buy anything
told me
you
that,
want.
I was like, no way.
And then
that's how I bought all my equipment,
that's
too.
Yeah.
Really?
So if you want to fund
a year
your equipment.
0% financing. So I just did it, paid it off in like 5 months, buy more stuff, pay that off.
Snap.
And just kept doing that. You'd never get hit from it unless you don't pay it. But, I mean, my credit limit on Amazon is over $8,000 now.
And it's a good way to actually... Because they give you such a big limit, it's a good way to get your credit score bumped up right away if you don't have any credit. Because I got my credit score up to, when I bought the building, like 730 with that card and a couple other ones and paying them off on time and the zero interest. So it really helped out. That's a good first card.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about your building, your first building and your rent, though.
Well, before we even get there,
yeah.
So you're sitting in bed and then you're like, you go to the summit and then you're like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. You come home. And what the heck do you do?
Then I come home and I start looking for a place to rent. And there's only one building. And it was a room in this old middle school for $450. With the utilities paid.
A month?
Yeah, $450 a month. So it was like nothing. So
yeah.
It was perfect. It was probably 700 square feet.
That was the old Curves room, right?
Yeah, there was another like unsuccessful. Oh, it was successful for a while, but it closed down. Previous kind of.
Yeah.
And then the $3,000 that you borrowed from Amazon, Mr. Bezos.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff, for giving a portion of your billions to start up businesses. What did you buy?
I bought, basically no machines, just, free weights.
Okay.
Equipment that you can afford with $3,000.
A lot of kettlebells, dumbbells, a few benches.
Bands.
His biggest expense was the flooring,
the
foam flooring.
Oh, yeah, biggest... That's usually one of the bigger expenses in the gym is the flooring.
Yep.
Cool. That is sweet.
Unless it's all machines, then it's...
So you buy the equipment, you sign the lease. Did they make you sign the lease? $450
for
a month? 12 months.
Yep.
Okay, so you got a year of risk there.
Yep.
And how do you find your first customer?
I use Facebook, and I actually started with like 40 customers right away.
How? What'd you market?
Not many people run Facebook ads in Wabasha, so I was like the top of.
I think initially
the chain.
Too, a lot of people.
I mean, I knew a lot
family.
Of people.
Yeah.
I lived there for a long. Yep.
Yep. His whole life and all
but
his family's there.
Facebook ads have really built up my business the most, because I probably knew.
He took a stack of
20% of my clients before, and there's like another 80% that I just met for the first time in the last year. So a lot of it was Facebook.
So shout out to Mr. Zuckerberg for helping you advertise
Facebook
your first
ads
business.
And being one of
if
the
you're watching, if you're watching Mark,
area.
We owe you some. That's awesome. And then what was your service?
We have 7 viewers right now.
Nice. Seven viewers on a... Man, we got to change this. We got to change this time as far as when we're doing this. There's people in front of their computer. They're all sitting at work, and they're like, I am not going to keep
working. We're on lunch, and
thank you for joining, by the way. Thank you for checking out the Office of China Law podcast. We are joined here today by the founder of Lean Body Fit Club based out of Wabasha, Minnesota. And we're just getting into his story of growing his business from $0, well, $1,000 that he had saved up, to borrowing some money from Amazon, to pulling some Facebook ads, to here we go. So you're off and running. You have the Facebook ads. What's the service that you're selling? What is?
Group fitness classes.
Okay.
And one-on-one personal training, but mostly the group fitness.
And the Facebook ads, are they getting people to sign up for a specific class, or are they just trying to get them associated with your brand? Like, what are you?
I was giving them, like, this opportunity to try the gym out for, like, a week.
Yeah.
For free.
Got it.
So that really got a lot of names, numbers. And then once I had all that, I could get them in the door. So.
And are they working out on equipment by themselves when they show up, or are they doing?
I teach all the classes.
Okay.
Yep. Each time. So if they're not there, then you
got certified when you're sick, right?
Yep, I got
online certified for training.
American Council of Exercise.
Okay.
When I was sick, when I had pneumonia, and I was just sitting in bed, that's when everything got planned out.
Yep.
And so that summit that you went to help learn about the business, how to market it, was that associated with your certification, or was that entirely separate?
That was separate.
So that's like the business side of saying, hey, we're going to pull Facebook ads. Here's the program you offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're listening to guys and gals that have this huge business, and you're just getting jacked up to go back home and get this thing going.
Yeah. And actually learning like a lot, taking a lot of things from there and incorporating them straight into the business.
Awesome.
And, a little motivation, but there was actually a lot of content that I took back and used.
So, what would you say to somebody that's sitting in school right now or considering going to school and they have this passion for whatever it may be and they find online this course or this summit or whatever the case may be, what would you say to them in order to possibly take that risk? What would be some advice to them before they throw down the money? Because that was an expensive trip, relatively speaking.
Yeah. I'd say you can do more than you think. Like, you don't have to be this guy at the very top to get going.
Yeah.
Like, when I first started, I talked to this other gym owner. He went to school for 6 years. He was a personal trainer for 10 years. And then he finally started his gym after 16 years. And it's like, you don't have to struggle through that whole process. You can get going right away. You don't have to be a trainer for 10 years to start your own training gym. You can train people and start your own business. You don't have to work for someone else and train one person at a time. You can train 20 people at the same time and do it right away. So the biggest thing is, like, don't limit yourself and don't think that you can't do something when you can go online and go on Instagram and you can see like 1,000 other people doing it. Why can't you do it?
Nice.
So
that's good advice.
And don't fall back on college because you're nervous that you can't do what you see everyone else doing. Like, you should be able to do it. If they can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
And a lot of it, you feel like you have to go to college because that's what society has taught you to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to start a gym, go for, you know, fitness and business and something like that, and then work your way up to a gym. Or it's like, you don't have to follow that same plan.
Well, and it can be cheaper to start a business than to go to college. If you have to pay $20,000 for a year in college, you can take that $10,000 and start a business or a service or something. So it can actually be less risky to take $10,000 and start a business where you can make money back instead of go to college for $20,000 and not make any dollars that year.
So do you two think that more people now are starting businesses than, let's say, 10 years ago?
10 years ago. Yeah, I mean, heck yeah, for sure. I mean, to sit here, how old are you?
21.
And to hear your story, I mean, that's a sign in itself. Like, even thinking when I graduated 10 years ago, like, I can't say a lot of my colleagues started their own business. And I think that they just didn't recognize that was an opportunity to do so. And I think the internet's making it more transparent that it is possible. And there's a lot more motivational people out there trying to give you that push to be like, do it and make it happen. Was there anybody in your life that kind of played the role of that push of being like, you got to go do it, or was it all self-motivated?
Well, some of the guys that I follow on Instagram kind of motivated me. My dad always, my family always supported me, whatever I did.
Yeah.
My dad, more than anybody else. So,
because he's in his own business in some way.
Yeah, he's in his own business.
Sweet. But it's amazing, though, the people online played an influence in you actually starting your business. Mm-hmm. And did they know you?
No.
But they're playing a huge influence.
Yeah, they're playing a huge influence. Well, because they're giving a lot of information away. And like, everyone has a mentor. Like, you can get a mentor if you don't have a mentor. All you have to do is go on Instagram and follow a guy and learn from him.
Who do you think were the top three people that influenced you? Online.
Online
that
people,
really
like,
helped
on
you, like, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people I know influenced me, but also, like, people I followed online for business tips, like Grant Cardone, Berto Skoulian, and probably, like, Andy Frizzella. That was the guy who I was watching right when I quit college.
Yeah.
That was more for just motivation to like, just to get, like, started, like, to justify, justify it to myself that I could quit. And
all right, so you throw down the 12-month lease. Was that $450 a month scary for you?
No, I was actually happy with that because no utilities. It was just $450.
You got a suite.
It was the only place I could rent. That was awesome. It was the only building, so.
So you sign the lease, you get some first customers, you're there training, and, like, what was the next step in that process?
Then the next step was just to keep getting more people. So used Facebook, just kept running ads and getting names, and then people would tell other people. And
six people.
And then the Facebook ads, did they change as you learned kind of what you were doing on Facebook ads, or what was the?
Yeah, I mean, they actually used to be a lot. They were cheaper back in like 2017 when I first started.
They were cheaper,
they're
Josh.
Going, the price of Facebook ads keep going up. Like, eventually you're not going to be able to run Facebook ads, I don't think, because I've watched it go
up
and up.
Do you wish that you spent more on Facebook ads than you did?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I...
Like, now that you're
spending more than it was.
Yep. And like, yeah. Because I remember one of his, like, first ad campaigns, he took his business cards and he, like, folded them out on the table.
Yeah.
And he just sent that out, like, to everyone. Yep. And that was, like, the reoccurring thing.
Yep. Yeah, that had, like, 10,000 people in the Wabasha area. Like,
and it was your business card?
Well, it was a seven-day free pass,
it was like,
and I had them printed out.
Slash card,
And it was a picture?
Yeah.
Of them?
Yeah. But I got,
it wasn't even like designed on the
thing. It was just like,
it was
come
a
in
picture
for
of them.
7 day pass Sweet. Kind of thing. Yeah.
And awesome. I got like 60 cell phone numbers. And
what did you build your first website on?
Wix.
Maybe this is.
Wix.
Is this still
this
it?
Is, yeah, it looks different now, but Wix.
There you go.
Wix.com.
Nice, dude.
And Wix is the way to go.
Yeah, it's easier. I mean, yeah. All right, so. You're doing the $450 a month. You're getting your first customers. That you keep contributing to the ad spend. What happened next?
Kept doing that for 12 months. 12 months of training and saving up cash. And then I moved locations, bought a building downtown.
Wait, stop. What?
12 months of training.
Yep.
Probably 2,000 classes.
Yep.
And then saved all that cash and bought a building.
Bought a building.
Yep.
Bought a building.
How old are you?
21.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so.
Were you 20 when you bought it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So you save your money. Smart, right?
Yep.
How do you find out that it's even possible to buy a building?
Well, I needed a bigger space because I was running out of room. And my family is in real estate, so right when this building came on, I knew I had to get it because there was nothing else. So I just bought it because I needed it.
And so did you buy it 100% cash?
No, just 20% down.
Okay.
Yep.
And the bank that you decided to work with, were they from, like, a big bank, like a Wells Fargo? Were they, like, a small bank? Like
small bank.
That's
just
cool.
Just in town, local, the local bank.
Shout out to the small banks.
Yep.
Was one of the guys training there?
Yeah, like like three people from the bank would work out. The vice president, I trained.
Is that how
him.
You got the loan? Or
no.
You worked with?
I mean, I had the 20% down, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So that helped me get it. And I was making all this, like, I had all my money, and I wasn't buying all this crap. Like, I don't have a car loan and all that other stuff. So my debt was.
And you're living at
low.
Home?
Yeah, I'm living at home.
Heck yeah, that's the way to do it. Bootstrap. Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say that too loud. There might be like a rent invoice when you show up. Yeah. Thank you, parents, for letting us live at home for the for the long term. All right, so you're buying this building. Did the bank, like when you went in and talked to them, was that nerve-wracking as far as taking out a it was a big loan? I mean, it wasn't a $3,000 Bezos loan.
Yeah. No, I had to do it, so it wasn't too nerve-wracking just because I had an apartment as part of the building that was been rented out for years.
Okay.
So there's like a good solid stream of income coming from that. So basically it wasn't that much bigger of a deal than renting the other room.
And for anyone buying a property, yeah, that's got to be appealing in general to have a renter that's been there forever. Like, yeah. Oh,
well, and that helps get the loan. It's easier to get the loan when you have a renter who's been there for years. Mm-hmm.
And you can also show, hey, I have guaranteed, relatively speaking, income from the business I'm operating out of this small space. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Good for you. That's awesome.
And I wanted it because I knew it was going to be like a good investment over time. And it wasn't too much more money than renting out that old little room.
Did you pay the asking price?
I paid more than the asking price.
Oh, interesting.
Was
it on the market?
Like
on the MLS, or was it not active?
Yeah, it was.
It was only on
for a day.
So it's well marketed, and did you know it was coming on, or did it just like hit in your family?
It hit, and
It's for sale.
And it, like the first day it was on, I looked at it right away and put an offer in the next day.
Were you already looking for a building, or
I was just waiting.
Okay.
I was playing the waiting game.
You were looking around at a few options.
There were some other options that were more expensive.
And so paying over the asking price, do you think that was a good idea? Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's good. I would never have wanted to lose the deal over like a couple thousand dollars over 20 years or whatever. Because then I wouldn't have the new gym, and I wouldn't have built the business twice as big. The new room was way bigger. I could train more people. It was right downtown. Like I wouldn't have wanted to lose that asking for like $5,000 less or something, and then someone else comes in and just pays for it, and then I'm stuck in this old little room that doesn't work anymore. You have to do it. I don't think it's good to over negotiate if you really need something.
If your business needs it.
If you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
I needed it, like I didn't.
Because you couldn't handle the amount of customers that you were getting interest from. Mm-hmm. So that's sweet.
So you haven't seen it, obviously, but in the lower, there's a lower level too, and there's a basement. And I don't know, you've been brainstorming different ways to like, you know, what can I do with this? Mm-hmm. Do I expand the gym? Do I try to rent it out?
Yeah.
I mean, from your standpoint, any ideas of like what he could do with, because I mean, it's empty down there. It's not pretty by any means. I mean, it'd be great for storage, or you'd have to redo a lot of it. But
is it limestone?
Basement
or block? Or it's got to be limestone.
It's like limestone, and then it's covered with
sheetrock,
like thick plaster.
Oh yeah. Basements are tough. Basements are super tough. I mean, I don't have any good advice for Wabasha basements, especially.
I kind of wanted to make like a massage therapy room or that I could rent out, and then another room.
I mean, secret. That's so one thing I will say is if you can help be an incubator with your space for other small businesses, I think that helps create additional opportunities for your business, for your reputation, for you learning from others. I mean, that's definitely an idea.
Yeah.
And if it's vertically integrated, like you mentioned, that type of business somewhat is similar to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think that can help your business as well.
Yeah.
But I do think you have to dang near give the space away. I don't think you can charge $450 a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but it's like, look at what you got for $450 a month. Is it that? And it's not that, right?
It's
far from that. So
you'd have to dump a decent amount of money into make it how you'd want it to look, probably. Also,
yeah.
The nice thing is it's separate. Mm-hmm. I mean, different door, right? Different entrance. So that's kind of nice.
You go. One thing I would tell you is get it out there online, because you never know who's out there looking and what that might lead to as far as an opportunity.
Just like listed as like a space?
Listed on Craigslist. They got the office and commercial side.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can list it on LoopNet. You got to pay for that. But you can list it with an agent, of course. That's another idea. It's just most people would be like, you really want me to list your basement? Like,
yeah.
You do that. Not much commission here for me if I rent this basement out. But yeah, I would say get it out there, get it available, because there might be someone looking for ideas. I wish you could store boats down there. I feel like a lot of people would want to store their boat in Wabasha.
Yeah.
All right, so you own the building. Mm-hmm. You're getting more customers. Did you have any, like, eye-opening lessons when you bought a building that you just weren't – you're managing an apartment now. You own a building. Like, there's
–
did you learn anything that way?
So far, so good with the building. No repairs, nothing broken yet. So I haven't really had to deal with anything.
Nice.
But back to the – negotiation of the price.
Yeah.
Like if you were going to spend $5,000, if you wanted $5,000 off because you just wanted to get a good deal.
We're going to get a lot of steady viewers.
There we go.
That'd be 250, like over the course of 20 years, it's only $250 more dollars
a year.
And if you break that down by 12 months, it's like,
50. Right.
Like you wouldn't want to lose that deal for $20 a month.
If there's not
extra.
A lot of inventory coming available and your business
is
growing.
Well, even, like, if you know it's going to work and you know you're going to, like, it'd be dumb to.
The one thing I've heard from some living legends, as I'll call them, is you'll run out of money before you run out of deals.
Yeah.
And I think often, you know, you get in that position where you need to spend money and you're like, all right, I got to go, I got to grow. And you think, and I'm not saying you made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
It sounds like you made a great decision, but there always will be another deal. It's just a matter of when. That's the concern. When is the next deal, right?
Yeah.
You'll drive home today and you'll see a for sale by owner sign that'll say $50,000. And you'll be like, what the heck? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, good. No, that's a good analogy.
Is anyone building buildings in Wabasha?
The Eagle Center is
like
expanding,
new,
isn't it?
Yeah, the Eagle Center. The Eagle Center got like $5-7 million or something
to expand.
But no, there's a lot of steel buildings that are being built to store toys.
So what would you tell somebody looking to start a small business in a small community? Because often we're talking about Rochester, which is, generally speaking, larger, definitely larger than Wabasha.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wise to start a small business like yours in a small community? What opportunities are there in those smaller communities?
Well, I think maybe in small communities you need to start something that's more of a necessity business compared to like some of the Rochester businesses, or I don't know, like fitness, everyone, a lot of people do it, almost everybody. You can almost get everyone to do it too. And I just think that's more of a necessity business compared to some businesses that you don't totally need.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a luxury, which I think a lot of people treat fitness as like less of a luxury and more of like something they have to do every day.
Hmm.
Or at least
the competition probably is not.
Yeah, the competition's not. There's an Anytime Fitness.
But besides that, that's it.
I mean, the fit body, like the boot camp style gyms are just so much different.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's a whole different ball game. To where if you brought in a bunch of equipment, just like an Anytime, then it'd be, you know,
and like
be different.
And personal
sense,
training would never, if you wanted to be a personal trainer in a small town, it doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can't train enough people. It works in Rochester if you can train a bunch of doctors and lawyers and people who can afford to do one-on-one training. But in a smaller town, you got to train 20 people at the same time. Well, that's what I do.
So one thing that stands out for me in a small community is it is somewhat of an incubator itself because the overhead is so low.
Mm.
Like if you wanted to rent a space in town, I can't find you something that's under $1,000 a month. Not that that's... there's more people here, but it's just the overhead's so low in a smaller community that you can take that risk a lot easier. Now, your probably risk of getting customers is a lot higher because there's not as many people, but that being said, it can be a good place to start.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that too, and when we go back and forth talking about buying commercial property, like how do you tie in buying commercial property from Rochester to Wabasha? Because, I mean, that's whole different prices and everything, too. I mean,
Yeah, you're built. How much did you pay for the building?
$120,000. So
yeah.
That's pretty.
In downtown.
Yeah, in downtown.
If you're looking at a building like that in Rochester, you're at 800,000. Yeah. I mean, what? How? In downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
But our downtown's much different. So crazy. So it's a great place to start for sure. Do you? Did you have to put any money into the building to get it in? So you had your, you know, $3,000 Bezos loan, as I like to call it. Did you have to pull another loan to do a remodel?
No, I had cash on hand from that previous year saving.
So you saved a lot from just hustling and building your business.
Yep.
That's crazy.
You didn't spend any money. At the time, you didn't have a girlfriend, lived at home, had his car. You didn't spend, like, anything.
Yeah.
Just put it all in the bank.
Yeah. That's awesome. I did. I saved, like, 70% of what I made, or 80%.
Cost of living in a smaller town is not very high, right? Like, oh, that's sweet. Good for you. I love that. That's so cool. Now looking at where you want to go with it. So how far in are you in this business? How old is it?
Almost 2 years.
Okay.
18 months in between there.
So if we were to say, what's your big, hairy, audacious goal? What's your BHAG? What would it be?
I'd like to double my membership. In this location.
How long, though?
In the next, like, 6 months to 8 months.
So we're about further down the road.
Yeah. When I say big, hairy, audacious goal, I'm thinking almost seems unachievable, like really, goal.
Okay. I'd like to start some more. I've already been looking at a second location in another city to start another one.
Like one that you would start, or one that you would franchise it?
This one I would start. I don't know. Maybe. Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Probably haven't looked into it.
I haven't looked into franchising yet.
Do another location. And you would keep the model.
Yeah, I'd keep the model the same.
The same.
Because it works. That's the thing. Like, he's documenting the process, so it's repeatable.
Yeah. No, I have a good, I have a good model that's, like, down to the T that you could repeat anywhere.
Neat. Very neat. What else have you done on social media since you've begun? So you did the Facebook ads. Where are you?
I've just done Facebook ads.
You're not on Instagram?
Oh, I'm on Instagram.
What are you doing on Instagram?
I mean, I've ran some Instagram ads. I've used Facebook.
Wait, what did you say, Josh?
I'm
on this all the time.
I've just been targeting like a 12-mile radius of Wabasha, 15-mile radius. And I mean, everyone has Instagram and everyone has a Facebook. But Facebook in that area is a lot more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, because
especially for the population, like there's not many 20-year-olds.
Right.
Everyone's 20, 30 and above. So.
Yeah, so Facebook is the platform to
market. Yeah, so Facebook's a good platform in that area.
Other than in the summer, then
you get an influx of visitors.
Yeah.
But then I already know a lot of
them. Cuz then so like last summer, kids came back, you did a Beachbody program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you capture all those people in that time and get them into the gym for that time, and they go back to college and school. Mm-hmm. And,
cool. And I put my focus on people, though, that can stay with me for a couple of years compared to college kids, because they're just in and out. And
smart.
So that's why I've just mainly focused on Facebook, but I should be doing more Instagram and videos. And
what would you, and I don't know how it works for targeting, but what do you think about LinkedIn? Are you active on LinkedIn?
No, I don't. I think I should be on it, but I'm not.
Yeah, so. I think you should be too. Yeah. I think that'd be sweet. Like, because they're probably on Facebook, mm-hmm. they're not on Instagram, and your customer is on LinkedIn if they're active.
Right? If they're not on Facebook, they're probably on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because you know? Mm-hmm. You do have a lot of business professionals that go there, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
And then how about email lists and things like that? Are you building a list of, customers? How are you?
I've used like landing pages from the Facebook ad.
Cool.
To build up cell phone numbers and
build your database, right?
I haven't really done much email marketing. I have like mass text message and personal cell phone. Just because I go on my email, but I usually don't open stuff that's not from someone else unless I want to see it. But the text, it's you know, it pops up right away. So I have like mass text message that I use to send out like deals.
You don't advertise on it a lot. It's mostly like this week's bookings are up, and you know, like keeping everyone updated on like.
But like what's I just put that on. Total transformation on, sent it out to everybody. But it's just the repetitive like getting the name out each week to the people, like, and they see it every week, and then eventually they come.
Just can like, you mass text like a video?
You could. That, it depends what service you have. But you could send a link.
Some of your customers easily. Still have flip phones?
No, most of them have
flip phones. Open it up like,
I don't know. I like the mass text because you can just hit everybody instantly.
That's nice. What tool are you using for that?
It's, what's it called? Callemall.com.
Callemall.com, all right. Nice.
It's like $50 a month. Yeah. And you can send out as many texts as you want. Yeah.
Who's that? Am I a member?
No.
Oh.
Cool. All right, so you're growing your business. Things are rocking and rolling, would you say that?
Yeah.
Awesome. It's going good for you. And do you have employees yet? Or is that a goal of yours?
Yeah, that's a goal eventually. Maybe have some other...
We're gonna have to do that if you open another location.
Yeah. Right now, it's like automated, like the whole booking process and taking appointments.
Yep.
Like if you thought of like a hair salon, they take the phone every day, but this is all online, so you don't have to do that kind of stuff.
If you had to give any advice to young professionals, they're in their 20s, they're looking at starting their own thing, you know, but they have whether it's the lingering debt of college or they're kind of stuck in their regular job and just don't know how to get out of it, what would be some advice you would have for them? How can they get started?
Well, the biggest one, if they don't have any cash, get the Amazon card.
There you go.
So they can buy their equipment on Amazon. And it's nice because Amazon prints you out a big list of, for when you do your taxes and stuff, of every product that you bought and like the totals of everything.
You too, I can just like print off all my expenses.
Having packs of receipts, and I'm like, oh, I gotta spend the next 4 hours. And Josh was like, I just printed off from Amazon. Now the one thing is, I'll say I'm buying local, buddy. So you're buying it from China, so I'm supporting local.
Another thing would be like thinking of college as a risk, like a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 risk, and then thinking of how much it costs to start your business. And if it's less than that, it's almost safer to start your business than go to college, because you're not guaranteed anything. If you want to start a business, but you think you have to go to college first, you're going to do that same thing. You might gain some info on the way, but you might not have enough money after college with all your debt, and then you got to start living in your new house and buy your new car, and then you don't have any free cash to. Mm-hmm. But when you're young, you don't have all that stuff yet.
I just get irritated with, not that this is college in general, but like you have those people that'll graduate with a 4-year degree and then get an internship because it's like, why? Like, why? I still don't know what I'm doing. Like, okay, so you just spent that time to learn how to do this, but then you still have to go get that anyways to learn what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, couldn't you just, like, trained in and done that anyways? Mm-hmm. And that's what I always did with businesses, was, like, start, learn, move my way up quickly, surpassing people with degrees, just because, like, a willingness to learn and a good attitude, you know.
One thing that stands out in your story, too, is your education from online. I mean, that was your schooling and still probably is your schooling. I mean, there's so much out there you can
learn.
How
long did that take you?
Which one?
To graduate with your training certificate.
I kind of fast-tracked it because I was doing nothing because I was sick. So I was supposed to stay in bed for 30 days or whatever. So like six to 8 months.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was quicker than that, actually.
No, that's because I started in December and July finished.
All right.
6 months.
Right on.
Here we are on a Tuesday, Austin Chan Tuesday Hall. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing advice. If people want to learn more about your business, or if they just want to pick your brain for ideas, where can they reach out to you?
They could go on Facebook at Lean Body Fit Club and message me on there.
Nice.
So.
And they should like the page as well.
Yeah, while or on Instagram, Lean Body Fit Club.
All right. Yep. Josh, where can they reach out to you?
They can find me at MediaCore on Facebook, Instagram, Josh and LinkedIn, Josh Langmaid. Yeah, that's about it.
And if you know anybody looking for an office, the office of China Hall, we got some. And we also got
this is where we're at.
Podcast studio, so if anybody wants to do their own podcast, just give us a shout. Thank you. Thank you, Christian, for joining this afternoon. We're out.
Out. We got 8 views right now.
Boom! One, I was liking.
Dude, we had a lot of viewers like the entire time.
That's awesome. We need to do a little more often.
Nice. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Are you related to a teacher, Mr. Pressure?
No. I'm gonna move my car.
At Pine Island, it was one of the best teachers ever. Sixth grade, Mr. Pressure, Craig. I thought his name was Craig. I thought that's your dad's name.
That's my dad's name, but okay. He wasn't a teacher.